You don't have to shout to be right with God. But if you're right with God, you won't mind if somebody else does. Amen. I think I've got some notes here. But the way Brother Treiber preached last night, I think this platform is set on automatic pilot, praise God. And, I appreciate that. Turn your Bible to Judges chapter number 3. Appreciate that good singing. I like quality music, and but I like it better when you know they're real. And she's real. I like using humor, but this is a new message for me, and I don't know how long it's going to take, so we better not fill in the gaps. Somebody say amen. I plan on going for the jugular. That's supposed to be funny, but if you better laugh while you can. The Bible said, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least of such as before knew nothing thereof. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and so easily it could be interpreted as a ritual to read a text of Scripture and to bow our heads and to try to preach and recite and to say words in the power of man. But how I need your touch today. And I stand where the arm of flesh has failed me. And I'm very aware that we can do nothing without Christ, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So the best way I know how this morning, I yield myself to you. From the top of my head, the sole of my feet, it's my desire to please you. I'd rather please you than man. So give me discernment way beyond my age and experience. Not to say anything that would not glorify God and exhort saints, and maybe even in a fashion evangelize sinners. Somebody may be here lost. And I pray for the old-timey Holy Ghost conviction to show them their need of a Savior this morning. But help me to say right things. Give me backbone and determination to say everything that I ought to say, and courage. And the course of our nation is in need of change. We need to turn to God. Not just a lip service, but a heartfelt repentance. And it starts with the church house. So guide us this morning and give attentive ears and open minds to truth. And then let the Word of God find a lodging place this morning. I pray it wouldn't just be a sideshow or just another performance. But God Almighty, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd speak to hearts and change a generation that's drifting far from the old-time way. We ask it now in Christ's name. Amen. I read the text and it reflects on a nation that knew not the wars of Canaan. And we know what Canaan represents in the Scripture. That's the high plane of the Christian living. Now, y'all respond a little bit. Amen. That's Canaan land. That's the good part. That's not Egypt. That's not the wilderness. That's after you cross the Red Sea. Amen. Now, amen. Once you cross the Red Sea, you're in Canaan. You may die in the wilderness. You may die in the wilderness, but you're headed for Canaan. That's the direction when you cross the Red Sea. When you get that blood between you and Egypt, you may die in the wilderness, but you are never going back to Egypt, praise God. Now, there's some of this modern crowd looks like Egypt, and they sound like Egypt, but if they are brothers in Christ, they've been saved. They're not going back to Egypt. We're saved forever. Amen. I like that. But there was a generation who knew not the wars of Canaan. Canaan represents the high times. Canaan represents successes. You know, that's the walls of Jericho over there. There's places of victory, you know, in Canaan's land. But you see, this word wars, it almost comes in conflict with the songs we sing about Canaan. The songs of Canaan that the writers through the years have penned always paint a happy place. It always paints a place of a land of flowing milk and honey. We know it was that, grapes of Eshcol. I mean, walled cities and all of the great supply that God has for his people. And I do say parenthetically this morning that I think we're living subpar of what we could live. That's not prosperity preaching. I'm just telling you, there's a better plane for us to live on. There is a higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. And I want to go higher for the glory of God. But there was a generation, this second generation, Joshua. They knew not about the wars. They had begun to enjoy the blessings. They enjoyed the great possessions and the spoils that took place, but now it came a place where they knew not the war, and it was a time for them to be taught the things of war. Amen. That's not a popular message. I mean, the emphasis of today is harmony. Amen. Let's see how many people we can get along with. But there was a battle. If you're going to have a Canaan, if you're going to experience victory in Canaan, there's some Philistines over there. And there's some Hittites over there. And some Amorites over there. And there's some enemies of God. In fact, there was five named in verse number 3, the lords of the Philistines. And they were there to test that generation to see if they really were going to follow God. You know, there's a test going on today. I wonder if this weakened, anemic, modern day second generation of saints that we are developing, and I say that's about as good as I can describe them. Amen. I mean, lily livered, potato string backbone, rose apologetic. I wonder if they can pass the test of the Philistines. I mean, you know, we have a test like compromise and contemporary and Calvinism and complacency, and there's these lords that were there to test this generation that was following. And they were to prove, the Bible said in verse 4, they were there to prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the, notice the next word, commandments of the Lord. I want you to underline that. This is not optional. Our positions, our principles, they're not to be voted upon. These are commandments. We don't have to have an agreement. We just got to get in order, praise God. And it said they were there to whether they would hearken to the commands of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. See, it was given to the fathers. It was Naboth's command. It was a previous generation. But now what are they going to do with this command? These wars are going on yet today. These battles in Canaan. I believe Bible-believing Christians of the 20th and the early 21st century have been in some battles. That the generation that has followed, that second generation fundamentalist Bible believer, they're far into the battle. That's why they're so soft and so effeminate. God help us. That we've lost the masculinity of the pulpit. Little sermonette for the Christianette, dressed like a majorette, driving that Corvette, smoking that cigarette. Somebody say amen. Amen. And out there blowing the air conditioned on the congregation, trying to please somebody. And the test is on for this generation. Are they going to be able to handle it when they see the battles of Canaan, the battles of modern day, old time religion? You know, our forefathers, we've got some martyrs on this soil who would not receive a license from the Anglican Church to preach. I can take you to their graves. I'm not much of a Baptist historian, but I mean, I'm a Baptist, praise God. But I've traveled the East enough, I know where some graves are of great Baptist forefathers who gave their lives if we could be here today. And that's not some distant generation away. That's not some decades and some of them decades, not even long ago, not centuries, but I'm talking about just days ago, some of our present day forefathers been martyred by rag-headed Muslims. If that offends you, hey, I thought we was in America. Amen. Everybody all right? You can't have it both ways. Hey, man, right there. I believe you come to America, you ought to wear a baseball hat and praise God, eat apple pie and love a hot dog something, and speak English. This is Southern English, praise God. These wars, to be remembered, they've lost. I still forgot the wars. Did you know there was a battle for Dr. Treiber to pastor this church and to charter a New Testament autonomous, independent, fundamental, premillennial, missionary Baptist church? It didn't just happen. I think of the great leaders he mentioned yesterday, and I want to elaborate in order to conserve some time. But there's an old-time preacher named Rayton Puckett from over in Western North Carolina. He's a man of God. In 1967, the Surrey County Association, the Southern Baptist, sued him. They took him to court in May of 1967 because he asked some deacons to step down. The deacons sued him. I'm talking about denominationalism. We're Baptists, but hey, we're independent. We're independent. Don't start hypercriticism. No, we're dependent on God. We already know that. We're talking about, hey, ecclesiastically. Don't insult my intelligence. Don't tick me off this early. My blood pressure's sky high now. Hey, I'm talking about we are non-denominational. We're Baptist. Yeah, man, we're first century saints of God. Hey, we go back to Jerusalem and pray. Hey, look at me. We're no protesters. We're not Protestants. Protestant my hind leg. I'm a Baptist. I'm not Baptistic. Sounds like some kind of disease. Hey, I'm a born again, Bible believing, hellfire and brimstone, preaching, Baptist. Somebody said, what would you be if you wasn't Baptist? I'd be embarrassed. They know not the war of Canaan. Not that I've apprehended, but I can remember the wars, some of the wars of present day 20th century, 21st century. I remember going to public school at Brockett Elementary, the DeKalb County school system in Georgia, and they began to have a big battle, fundamentalist Bible believers versus the school system over the theory of evolution. Just that word became a battle. We'd been taught creation. My first grade teacher was an Orthodox Jew. She read the Bible every day. We prayed. That's 1965, 66. Is everybody listening? That wasn't that long ago. And here she was, and we'd read the New Testament. She was required that we read the New Testament. That's in DeKalb County, Georgia. I was sitting in class. I remember the controversy building up and all the people talking about it in Forest Hills. Well, they're going to change that word theory to just evolution, drop the word. By the way, it's not just a theory. It's a blessed fired fairy tale. You got to believe wrestling's real to believe in evolution. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't y'all down me, you bunch of religious academia. You better like this, praise God. You better get on the right side right here. We are anti-evolution. Amen, praise God. It was 6 days. The evening and the morning were the first day. 24-hour period. I know thousands of gap theories. Amen. We don't have to impress the known and the knowledgeable. We're Bible believers. I remember sitting in class biting my nails over that as a child. As just a child. I wasn't even saved. But I knew there was something going on because the deacons and daddy and the preachers were all talking about the theory of evolution versus teaching it as a truth, as a fact. Yeah, man. I remember. It's this Rayton Puckett I referred to. Can you imagine being sued by the deacons? That was in the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a whole lot more denominationalism than that. But where I come from, I'm telling you, hey, she was an enemy to autonomy. Say what you will, Association of Missionary. And I'm talking about he had to go to court. You can look it up. It's historical record. I just preached with him a couple of weeks ago over in Boxville, North Carolina. He began to preach and elaborate on the battle. Can you imagine your children having to be scared to go to school because your daddy's getting sued by the deacons? and it's in the paper every day. Just look it up on the paper. It's got the papers cut out. Hey, right there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, White Plains, North Carolina. That's not make-believe, friend. That really happened to our forefather. I can introduce you to the man. But they don't know about the wars. They don't know about the wars that Curtis Hudson had to fight as editor of the Sword of the Lord. I know it's appointment unto death once to die. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have had an Outback burger last night. I'd have went on the hallelujah diet. Somebody say amen. When I eat one of them Outbacks, it is a hallelujah diet. I remember the stress my daddy was under when he came out with a front page ad in the Sword, The Dangerous Direction of Tim Lee. And the attack he took. Oh, that patriot? We didn't attack his patriotism. He didn't stand against his patriotism. He didn't stand against his servants in Vietnam. He didn't stand against his sacrifice. He stood against his compromise. He stood against his compromise and Jerry Falwell's. And they all said, oh, not Jerry Falwell. Well, look where they are today. Thank God I only went 3 years. Somebody say amen. I didn't get branded. Hey, are y'all still here? I watched him. I believe he died at 60 years old because of the wars that he fought in Canaan land. The enemy of everybody, he's the bad guy. Everybody else is kumbaya and trying to salvage everybody. Let me tell you something. Hey, I've been raised in the country, and I know one thing about putting up meat. You can't salvage the rot. You better cut that rot part out. You better throw that part out. Hey, you may put some salt on that that hadn't got tainted yet. But when it becomes a worldly and compromised and watered down and anti-scriptural, hey, you done crossed the line, friend. You can't salvage that. How can two walk together except to be agreed? We've forgotten the wars. I'm talking about, man, the religious denominations and their intervention. I'm talking about this modern day mindset. Embrace everything, stand against nothing. And all the 180,000 words that there are in the English language, when the Holy Ghost began to write the scripture, he never one time chose the word compromise. But he did preach the word stand. Amen. And having done all, stand. I got to hurry. Y'all still here? This second generation of fundamentalism, they need to be taught the things of war. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. It's interesting to me that Matthew chapter 10, it's a passage that many want to turn away from, and they don't want to quote this very often, but it's still in there. Matthew 10:32. You're there? Say aye. I like to hear the rattling of the pages as long as they don't just keep on rattling. If you hadn't found it by now, just stop where you are and look intelligent. Praise God. Look at what Jesus said. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. Now you say, wait a minute, that's an inconsistency. No, he wasn't bringing peace when he came. He's going to bring some peace when he comes back. But he said, I didn't come to bring any peace. I came not to send peace, but a what? I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of who? Man, that's sad but true. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he said, that receiveth a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, receiveth a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. We got to teach them. They don't know about it. It's been too easy. Ready-made churches. Ready-made positions. No battles to fight. No ditches to dig. Ready-made ministries. But they need to know there were some battles that were fought. And the battle still rages. Are they passing the test? Well, if you study the scripture, this sword is not just some strangely, rarely referred to weapon. I mean, it's the mainstay of the scripture. Ephesians 6, hey, the sword of the Spirit. You got to put on the whole armor of God, by the way. This is a contact sport. This ain't soccer. Somebody say amen. You need a helmet in this game we're in, praise God. You need more than a pair of short breeches. I need help, praise God. Amen. The whole armor of God, a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness. Hey, loins girt about with truth, a shield of faith. Shod, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And you better get that sword in your hand. But we're trying to develop a modern day church without conflict. I don't seek conflict, but Jesus was the one. If you got a red letter, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention went ahead and told us that the red letters are inspired. I'm glad they finally came to that conclusion. Amen. Here it says, I didn't come. You're thinking wrong. Think not. You're thinking too much. Human reasoning has marred the direction of God's people. My ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord God Almighty. Hey, young man, you're thinking too much. Hey, sir, you're thinking too much. Hey, ma'am, think not. There's some things I ain't got a guess. I ain't got a second guess. Amen. Think not that I've come to bring peace. If you don't think that's true, that mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, just come to one of our services when my mama's in town. Somebody, she sits over here and Tracy sits over here, and they hiss at each other when they walk by. I got biblical proof of that, praise God. Watch this. The sword's mentioned early on in the Bible. It's not some strange, obscure piece of equipment. It was in Genesis where there was a cherubim set at the gates of the garden, and he had a flaming sword, and it went every which way. That's being interpreted. Amen, a flaming sword. Y'all ain't gonna laugh at a blessed fire thing. I mean, it went every which way. Ha ha ha. Going in every direction. He started his scriptures with a sword. A sword was present. Then in Revelation 19, he ends it up, the consummation of it all, coming back with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his thigh, and his vesture dipped in blood, and on his head many crowns, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. But we have raised a generation. I don't know, I've got some ideas. I'm not going to pick on that this morning, but I got some ideas where some of it spawned from. But we've raised a generation that knows not how to wield the sword. It's foreign to them. They don't even know what the sword sounds like. The sounds of battle. Amen. I was going to preach not long ago in one of these conferences. I was called. It never had happened before. They called me and said, Brother Hudson, what are you speaking on? And I said, well, really, I hadn't thought about it. It's several months ahead of time. Well, we would like to know what your theme. That almost sounds effeminate right there. I call it a text. I don't preach thought. I preach the word, praise God. I said, well, I'm going to be preaching on the words of Christ. They said, okay. And hung the phone up, and I mean, within minutes, This representative from that place called and said, "Which words?" "Well, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." Real quickly, I want you to see some things that a sword's going to do. Number one, a sword divides. The sword divides us. I think about Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and the Bible speaks of traditions. Verse 15, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions, hold to it." Kind of reminds me of Shammah over there in the book of Judges when he was fighting and his hand clave. "Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Bible said in verse 6, now chapter 3, verse 6, "Now we command you, brethren," notice we command you, that goes right back to Judges chapter 3, commandments that were given to the fathers. Not just ideas, not just preferences, not just trends, but those commandments that were given. He said in verse number 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's all capital right there. That's the form of deity. That's our Savior. This is not optional. And he put behind it the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he said: "That you withdraw yourselves from every brother." Now, I don't know necessarily if that is, I have to be honest, you can help me later, but that could be physical, that could be a human relationship. I've got some family that they think I'm off the deep end because they don't know, they've forgotten the wars. But I guess they hadn't listened to Daddy's message lately on things that are different or not the same. Y'all okay? They've forgotten the wars. But it says, brethren, I'm sure we could relate that to Christian faith, and all God's people say it. Didn't say apostate. You know you ought not hang around with an apostate. You know you ought not hang around with a heretic. He's to be warned. You're already shunning that rascal. But this is that brother who still wants to, you know, hey, we're brothers. He said, but if this brother doesn't walk according to the commandments, he said, and withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the, wait a minute. The what? It didn't say doctrines. Don't try to mess that up. Well, we preach Jesus. Our doctrinal statement lines up the same. It didn't say, don't you think the Holy Ghost, don't you think he would make sure he would specify doctrine from tradition? He already mentioned traditions of men in earlier epistles, but right here he said, man, these traditions, if they're not walking, hey, and the order of the tradition, but they're disorderly after the traditions which you received of me. What did he say in verse 14? If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Romans 8 said, if they come preaching doctrine that you've not learned, avoid them. Bible said over there in 2nd, y'all know what Timothy said. Know this also, then perilous times shall come. And he said, some's going to have a form of godliness. They got that form down. But they deny the power. What is the power of the gospel? The power is the change that it brings. Amen. They want that come as you are and stay as you are. Amen. No change. Listen, it's not the change that saves you. No, I don't believe in a work salvation. I'm not an Arminian. But if you get saved, there's going to be a change. Therefore, what you going to do with it, neighbor? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What you going to do with that? You're to shun them. Have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. They ought to be ashamed. They ought to be be embarrassed. They ought not want to call us on the phone. They ought not want to text us. They ought to want to, hey, unlike us on their Facebook, because they ought to be ashamed. It divides us. The vitality of the scripture divides us. We got a book that's alive. Ain't it Hebrews 4, you know? It's quick. It's powerful. It's quick. The word of God is quick. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I don't understand these new versions and the acceptance. This ESV that everybody's embracing is nothing more than the NIV. It deletes the same 17 verses. In a recent 2013 new translation or adjustment they made, they put back that Acts 8:37 that the NIV deletes. If you've got an NIV, it says 36 and goes to 38 in chapter 8. When it comes to the Philippians, that Ethiopian eunuch getting baptized, when it comes to important areas like if thou believest first with all thine heart, then be baptized, they want to delete that. Can I tell you right now that our book's alive? It's powerful. I mean, just the presence of our, you just put a Bible on your arm and walk on an airplane. Hey, listen, you'd think you got a snake in a cage. Somebody say amen. Anytime you want a seat beside you, I know fat people have a way of making room, praise God. All I got to do is get out my Bible and start reading Revelations. And I saw a door open in heaven. And the voices that were the sound of a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up. Man, people just won't even make eye contact with you. They'll start giving up their seat next to you. The Bible has that way. The sword that we hold in our hand, the sword that we hide in our heart, the sword, my friend, hey, it is to be a divider. The verses divide us. Come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Don't even touch it. And then I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, and be our sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I could quote a lot of verses on that separation. Can I talk to you that biblical separation and holiness, as well as ecclesiastical boundaries, are as much a Bible doctrine as the blood atonement is? I don't understand these people rubbing shoulders with somebody rubbing shoulders. One good way to know you're going the route of a compromiser is when you associate with known compromisers. And then you're easily offended when somebody calls you out on it. I'm just trying to, where are they picking? Why am I the punching bag? Because you're the compromiser. And then the next thing they start doing when we start being divided by the way, well, then they start, well, they start raising, well, I tell you what now, they quickly circle themselves with only the crowd that's going to tell them what they want to hear. And then it won't take very much longer after that. Then they start castigating anybody who's in a position of separation and play themselves as the martyrs. They play themselves as that. All we're doing is we're staying with the Bible and they're not. And they play the martyr and simultaneous hero at the same time while telling, I'm walking down the lonely road of Christian integrity. In other words, they don't talk about people. Well, my Bible said call them out. My Bible said label them. It said right there, did we not just read it? And it wasn't a suggestion. It was a blessed fired commandment. Don't you get mad at me for calling names. You ought to be ashamed that you won't. You ain't got enough backbone to call a name. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't call names. I said, that's why God called me to preach and he didn't call you because he knew I would and he knew you wouldn't, praise God. It's Bible. Note that man. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then they'll always say, well, you know, I'm being attacked for my liberty in Christ. Liberty to look like a Jezebel? Liberty for your wife to walk around in leggings? And you call yourself a Baptist preacher? And then want to put your picture in there with Harold Sightler and Bobby Robertson? God help. Hey, they're rolling over in their graves, friend. They wouldn't ask you if they were here. Hey, they wouldn't ask you to pray. Hey, silent prayer somewhere. Somebody help me. Don't look down, look up. It's about look up time now. You're telling on yourself now. If you had any backbone, you'd get up and leave if you didn't believe it. Hey, man. The sword divides. The version divides us. We don't go around and make that our platform. But we're just not changing. It divides us. I know this as I begin to study this nation that knows not war, this generation that knew not the battles of Canaan, this generation who's forgotten what we fought for to get here. They forgot that a sword divides. Note this, a sword defends. A sword defends. It defends our position. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm a gospel preacher. Hey, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the God. Moreover, here's over and here's moreover. Moreover, I mean of utmost importance, of utmost priority. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Jesus died according to the scriptures, and how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul said, as much as it is me, I'm ready to preach the gospel. That right there defends our position. It's one way. Our position is this, the deity of Christ, the lordship of Christ. It's neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given among men where you must be saved. He came unto his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Salvation's in a person. It's not church of your choice. It's not how sincere you are. You're going to have to be born again, regenerated, born from above, quickened, made alive in Christ. Hey, listen, we have a Bible that defends our position. Oh, y'all say y'all are extremist and you people go too far and y'all are intolerant. I'm not the one who said Adam and Eve. I'm not the one who instituted marriage. I'm the one that defines it from the scriptures, the pages of scripture. It defends our position. Oh, I could say so much about what we believe. It defends our purpose. Well, y'all are so disconnected from reality. All y'all talk about is soul winning, evangelism, bus ministry. We're trying to disciple. We're a deeper life. You shallow fundamentalist. We get attacked for that. If you were to ask one of these modern churches, one of these, even those that's come out from under us, ask them, could you help me on the impeccability of Christ? They wouldn't even know what you're talking about. They'd think that was something a hen did in the yard. If you were to ask this modern crowd, this weak, anemic, watered down, would you help me with the difference between justification, sanctification, glorification? My bus kids know how to answer that. Our bus kids know how to answer that. They got verses on everlasting life. Yeah, man, but we got a crowd now that does not the war. They've never had to know anything. Y'all listening? The sword defends our purpose. Our purpose is clearly defined. It's not go 10 steps to a better self-image. It's not pick up cans across the county line. Our purpose is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. We want the lo, but we don't want the go. They want the lo. They want their needs met. They want to drive around a nice car, amen, and have a nice home. They want that instant made ministry. Somebody help me. But they won't go to get the lo. Highways and hedges, they target certain incomes. We're going after the middle income. What about those poor have been preaching gospel? When John the Baptist was over there doubting, he was doubting whether Jesus was the Messiah or not. He was second guessing all about it. He is back there biting his nails. Go ask him, is he here? Shall we look for another? And Jesus said, you go back and tell him this. He said, the poor people have been preaching gospel. Oh, John said, that's him, praise God. We have a Bible. We have the pages of God's Word who defend our purpose. Going to all the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. We don't have to apologize because we're evangelistic. We want to see people saved. But it's more. Our purpose goes beyond evangelism, teaching them to observe. I believe that grace it saves will put some clothes on your back. That maniac of Gadara was naked, running around out there in the caves, cutting himself with stones, getting new tattoos, nose pierced. But he got born again. He met Jesus. And the next day he was clothed. Isn't that interesting? That wasn't a misprint. You know why he was clothed? Because he was naked the day before. Didn't have enough clothes on to clean out a 10-gauge shotgun. Somebody help me. He is naked as a jaybird. But the next day after he got born again, he was clothed and in his right mind, sat at the feet of Jesus, said, tell me more. I want to know more about my Lord. Yeah, our purpose is we have a biblical defense for what we do. Y'all mates are on the minors. I didn't know there's any minor in the Bible. I still think it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Hey, bottom or top? Somebody say amen. Y'all listening at me? Hey, amen. Long hair, my hind leg. Let a woman dress modest. That's Bible, friend. That's not preference. That grace that bringeth, Bible said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. They're all about grace till it gets to this part. Oh, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. You are legalists. No, we've never added grace to salvation. We've never added works to salvation. We sure have added grace to salvation. But we sure do add works after salvation. Teaching us what? That denying ungodliness. And worldly lust. What is worldly lust? That's not all sexually oriented. Worldly lust is anything that the church forbids. A lust is a desire for the forbidden. Church says you can't dance, can't go to the prom. So what do? You change churches. So your teenage daughter that runs your home. They all love our church when their kids are little, but when they get up about that prom age. Yeah, man. No, they ain't no praying knee on a dancing leg. Somebody help me, friend. It teaching us a denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And by the way, I just saw some of our family going to a Christian school having a dance. If that ain't an oxymoron, that's like passing out marijuana at a praise God AA meeting. Somebody say amen. Is everybody listening to me? Christian school, my hind. Just because you put Christian on it, don't make it Christian. I can tell you that. Teaching them and denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in, not total sanctification, in this present world. That's what grace will do. It'll keep you out of some places. Amen. Grace defends our practice. Last night I got happy. I was sitting on that second bench. I got to singing about the cross. And you know, If it had been at our church, he kind of testified about it. We shout at the drop of a hat, and we bring our hats and drop them around. I watched my wife start shaking. And then I heard my daughter. And old Brother Alvin up here singing about that cross where I first saw the light. And I started feeling the Holy Ghost. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you're probably not saved, because if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of his. Hey, you ain't got to act like I act, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, you're going to feel the Holy Ghost. Look up in here, you students. If something big as God moves in you and you don't feel him every now and then, I doubt you're saved. I need help on the platform. If something big, I'm not basing my salvation on that, but I'm going to tell you, something big as the Holy Ghost moves in you and takes up dwelling in you and you don't feel him every now and then, hey, my hind leg, you're saved. Spirit bears witness that we are the sons of God. It bears witness what he was. My spirit was bearing witness. And in a minute I said, whoo! And I was looking for a place to run, Mama. But I was scared of my eyes. I was getting blurry. I wanted to run. I was scared I'd run into somebody. But I felt something. You say, why you act like that? I got a Bible that gives me reason to act like that. I don't have to apologize to you for shouting. What you going to do with all them verses in there? Is God in all that racket? Is God in all that deadness? Yeah, man. Our practice. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and the time has come, when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, the desire for the forbidden. You can't wear that and sing in our choir. You can't wear that and be a Sunday school teacher. Well, so their own lust, the desire for the forbidden, they heap themselves teachers. Well, they're y'all under the law, see? You need to be under grace where you can just sin. Do anything you want to. The way I learned it, I don't know all about the Bible, but the parts I know real good. Look at me. And the Bible said over there that under the law it was like this, thou shalt not kill. I got that. Y'all got that? Easy. It's easy. But under grace it says, if you think evil of a man, you already a murderer. Well, you're looking at a full-blown serial killer. There's a lot of deacons' wives I'd have loved to see him laid down, praise God. Yeah, man. Well, thou shalt not commit adultery. I got that. Under the law, y'all, we just don't commit adultery. Under the law, we just don't commit adultery. Look at all the pornography you want to. Do what you look at all that X-ray and stuff and them Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. By the way, ma'am, if your husband tells you that it doesn't bother him to watch them Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, ma'am, look at me. Just get him to the doctor just as quick as you can and draw blood on him, because he might need a little hormone replacement therapy. Amen. There's something wrong with him, sir. Amen. Watch this. Thou shalt not commit adultery, but under grace it says, but if you look at a woman to lust after, all you got to do is just do it, look twice. You've committed adultery in your heart. It's a little bit easier under the law, because when you get that Holy Ghost living on the inside, you got grace now, and he's going to teach you. Oh, that's good preaching. Look right here, Lord, watch this. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Amen. Next time they start that junk on you, they're strumming us like a cheap banjo this next generation. Because their wives run them. Because their wives run them. Amen. Their wives run them. They're scared of their wives. These younger leaders. Amen. Watch me. Don't look down, ma'am. Look back up. I said that my wife's here. Amen. Look at me, sir. But they want to strum us all the time. But our Bible defends our position. Our sword, it defends our position. Amen. Man, I could stay there a while. They want to tell us, well, God, all sin's the same. Y'all are against same-sex marriage. What's that? A lie is a lie. All sin will send you to hell. I agree. All sin will send you to hell. But not all sin is the same. That shows your biblical weakness, your inadequacies. That reveals your biblical ignorance. It was more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it was Sodom and Tyre, because they had heard some truth. So it'd be easier in hell on Sodom and Gomorrah because they never heard Jesus. But Sidon and Tyre heard him and they denied it. Look at me. When they was leaving out of Sodom and Gomorrah, old Lot's wife, she turned around. God never has turned anybody to a pillar of salt for looking at a moonshine still. God never has turned anybody to a pillar of salt for listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd, thank God. But I tell you what he did do when they look back on such same-sex sodomy, the picture of our blessed, holy relationship as a bride with the groom Jesus, that precious, holy relationship, and they desecrated that thing, and they was living like men, hey, men with men as womankind. At Romans chapter 1 crowd, he said, man, those that do such things are worthy of death, and those that have pleasure are also worthy of death. Is this okay? I'm just kind of cheering. What is this second generation toting if they're not toting a sword? The sword divides. Period. You can't believe this. It'll divide your family. I came not to bring peace, but to bring father against son. The sword defends. The sword defeats. We're pastoring people at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church that aren't having victory. And I can almost trace every Christian that's lacking victory in our congregation to a lack of the Bible. We have victory. We defeat. The sword defeats. What does it defeat? It defeats our adversary. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking, may devour. He's walking now. He was going to try to devour our Savior in that mount of temptation. Man, he said, ain't you hungry, Lord? This is in the original Textus Receptus. Ain't you hungry, Lord? This is in the redneck version. Ain't you hungry, Lord? You ain't had nothing to eat in 40 days and everything. I know you omnipotent, you know, because I believe in God. I believe God. I believe in God. Everybody believes in God. And I believe you could, if you wanted to, you could turn them stones to bread and everything. If you wanted to and everything. And Jesus said, well, I don't see what would be wrong with it. Everybody goes through that. That's part of being physical. And by the way, this idea I'm hearing propagated around here that everybody in the world has homosexual desires at one time or another in their life, look right up in here whoever wrote that book. Right there, I say, my hind leg. I ain't never, bless God. I ain't never seen a boy I really wanted to hold hands with. Somebody help me. I ain't believing that bunch of junk. They're propagating that bunch of junk. That's false doctrine. That's making room for sinners, praise God. Stay with me. I'll get on that tonight. It defeats the adversary. You know what you need? You need to learn to resist the devil. We're so, because we are biblicist, and we don't believe in eradication, we don't believe in a second working of grace, and we don't believe in some second blessing. So that almost licenses this newer generation to okay lasciviousness. Put their approval on any lifestyle. Are you kidding me? We can defeat the flesh. My flesh lusts against my spirit. I'll be coming home, man. I'll be coming home from a meeting late at night, trying to stay up late at night, and I'll be flipping through that XM radio, and it'll fall on Bluegrass Junction. And you know, I kind of say, well, you know, lukewarm. Help me now. Neither cold nor hot. I'll just stay a minute. Then I pop it on. All of a sudden, it's on one of them Southern Gospel channels, and old Vestal Goodman comes on. God walks the dark highways and byways. And I go, I like that. I say, I like that right there. Yep, I like that. And then the next effeminate group comes on, and I say, don't like that. And I change the channel. Falls over, bow na 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 wa wa, bow na 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 wa wa, na 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 wa wa, bow na 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 na, hey hey hey, bow na na na, hey hey, bow na na na. Jesus says, bow na 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 na, died for me, bow na 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 na, 2,000 years ago, bow na 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 na, on Calvary, bow na na na, wa wa, bow na 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 na, wa wa, bow na na, and I like it. I like that. I like that. I like it. That flesh lusts against that spirit. And that spirit saying, no, you really like it. God walks the dark he. I said, no, I like it. But no, 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 no. I like it. No, no, you don't like that. That spirit says, you don't like that. You don't like that. You like it. I'm no longer an orphan. Somebody rescued me. My clothes no longer are tattered. My family's royal. As the Spirit said, you like that? What happens? Well, that word pops up. What things are lovely? What things are pure? If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Guess what? The Bible trumps it. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. It defeats our adversary. It defeats apostasy. How can we veer from these pretenders? Earnestly contend for the faith. We got a lot of pretenders. We got a few intenders. Amen, but very few contenders. Earnestly contend for the faith once in a while. The Bible said in John, you shall know the truth. I thank you for me to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. He says over in the latter part of verse 31, talks about us being disciples. You'll be my disciples if, I tell you, you'll be my disciples if you keep my commandments. He said, if you know the truth will make you free. You know what would keep this crowd from apostasy? If our Christian school kids could learn and leave the school with a knowledge of our doctrinal positions. It, don't get nervous, but I'm appalled at Christian school students, Bible college students that I talk to, and they know nothing. Well, I don't chew gum during church. Well, good. You know, some of our people dip skull during church where I come from. And that's deacon's wives. Help me now. But they know what they believe because they got a Bible basis for what they believe. It can't be because mama and them. Here's the answer. Well, mama and them and everything. Mama and them, Papa. Papa was a missionary Baptist. Mama and them. Earnestly contend for the faith. You don't even know what it is. You couldn't identify. Give me five cardinal doctrines. Give me an essential. Give me one of those fundamentals. They start stuttering. They don't even have a verse for eternal life. What's your life verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They got that one. Anemic. Stay with me. There's an absence of the word. I'm hurriedly to say we can defeat our adversaries. We can defeat apostasy if we know the truth. Best way to tell a counterfeit is to be real familiar with the real thing. I close with this because y'all quit listening a while ago. You bunch of Pharisees didn't like that. Bye, no, 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 no. And I really enjoyed it for a minute there. I thought I was doing good. Especially the drum roll. This sword will defeat apostasy. It'll defeat the adversary, but it'll defeat apathy. I look at the Bible, and what little that the Holy Ghost has illuminated in these few years of study, it prods me. Psalms 119, 140 said, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servants loveth it." If you love somebody, this is the word. And in the beginning was the word, we know that. But the Bible said in John, it said the word became flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. I get to looking at the word. It's such a motive. It can defeat Samaria. It can defeat apathy. When I go to reading what God did for others in here, there's a city called Jericho over there. It's walled. What are we going to do? Well, here's what you do. March around that thing, you know. Do it once a day, you know. That ain't going to work. What about my credit score? What about my Facebook page? I'm not getting any likes like this. Yeah, just walk around. Do it again the next day. Just walk. You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait's not a term of anticipation, that's a term of service. They'll run and not be weary. They'll rise up wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. I just get to seeing what God has done, and it makes me want to do. That's what this sword does. I got a gun cabinet at home. I got guns where it ain't in the cabinet too at home. I'm glad we didn't have to go through a metal detector this morning. My wife couldn't have made it in. Praise God. I can go by that gun cabinet. I don't have the privilege or the opportunity to hunt every day. But when I go by that cabinet, I look at that 12 gauge double barrel. Makes me want to go rabbit hunting. When I see that 22 with that scope, it makes me want to go squirrel hunting. When I see that 30-06 Bushmaster Remington with that 3x15 scope on it, makes me want to go deer hunting. It makes me want to do something. The absence of this Bible, this sword. Boy, we need to get it in our hand again and teach the generation following the ways of war. They ain't nothing Bible preaching won't fix. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd take truth today. We're living in perilous times. Evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse. This hour in which we live, awaiting your second advent, is probably the darkest hour that Christianity's ever faced. And I pray, God, today, in a day of apathy, in a day of apostasy, in a day where the adversary is stronger than ever before and he has more allies than ever before, help us to do our best as spiritual leaders to mark a path for a generation that know not the battles of Canaan. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.